Hey everybody, this is Pastor Robin Steele from Promised Land Church in San Marcos, Texas, and it's such a privilege to have you along for our podcast this week. I thought I needed to give you a little bit of introduction. If you were not there on Sunday, we launched a brand new sermon series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And I actually walked out as Mr. Rogers, came out in a suit coat, went over to a closet, put on a cardigan, sat down, changed my shoes. So I figured I should give you a little bit of background information since you can't visually see what's going on. You can kind of hear the crowd laughing and things like that. So as you're listening, you can kind of visualize it. That's what's happening. Mr. Rogers is preaching the message. Anyway, if you are interested in getting more info on the sermon, you can always go to my blog, which is pastorrobin.com, and we always have the full version of the sermon notes of all the sermons I preach are on my blog, pastorrobin.com. Anyway, we're so thankful to have each and every one of you guys listening to our podcast each week. We thank you for sharing it with others. All right, so here's week one of Won't You Be My Neighbor? Hello, everybody. Good to see you all here today in the neighborhood of Promised Land. It's a beautiful day, right? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. And Promised Land's a good place to be, right? Welcome to all the guests that are here today. Oh man, I forgot to do this. There we go. If this is your first time to Promised Land, I am not Mr. Rogers, but I do play him today. Anyway, we're very glad to have each and every one of you here today. All of our regular attenders and all of our guests. And if you are a guest here today, there's a little envelope in the seat in front of you, and we'd love to have you take that out and just give us a little bit of information about yourself, and would love to connect with you this week, pray for you, talk to you. You know, if you're interested in finding a new church, we'd love to have you join us here at Promised Land. And we are starting a brand new sermon series today called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And if you don't have sermon notes today, you really need to get them. So we've got some folks that are about to pass them out. If you did not get the little piece of paper that says sermon notes on it, would you just raise your hand and they will come pass that out to you quickly. And this right here is our goldfish, one of our fish at our house that we won at the Blanco Vista Halloween carnival 2 years ago, and he's still alive. He's been forgotten about a few times, but he's a fighter. Did you know that goldfish do not have stomachs? Yeah, you're supposed to feed them multiple times a day because they eat all day long, because they don't have a stomach. See, you learn all kind of great things here at Promised Land, like about goldfish and things like that. Wasn't Mr. Rogers just the nicest guy ever? I mean, raise your hand if you've never seen a Mr. Rogers television show. You've never seen it, okay? New Zealand. What's wrong with y'all? You need to go on YouTube. John? Well, my wife and I had, I've just seen it a few times. I hadn't watched it a whole lot. But We went back this week, popped some popcorn, went on YouTube and found full episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and watched it, and wow, such a nice guy. I mean, everybody that watched that show loved Mr. Rogers. I mean, he was so friendly, and he sang this song. He would always come out, and he would change his clothes to be more casual, more relaxed. But I started doing some research on him, and he was really the same guy in real life that he was on TV. That he was actually an ordained Presbyterian minister, and he felt God had called him not to pastor a church, but to go on TV. And he went on TV because when he was growing up and he watched television, all he saw was people that were mad at each other. And this was in the 40s. Can you imagine what he would think about if he was watching it today? Back then, it was everything that was for kids back then was throwing pies in each other's faces and poking each other in the eye and tripping each other. And he thought, kids need to see something else besides this. And so he went into television, and he just really loved on people. He loved on all races and all abilities and all backgrounds. Everybody was equal in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And he would say, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Asking, "Won't you be my neighbor?" What is a neighbor? What is it like to be a neighbor? What does it mean to be a neighbor? Well, Mr. Rogers would always have a little bag that he would bring out, and in the bag would be an item that he would teach the kids about. So y'all ready for what's in my bag here? He would pull something like this out of the bag and say, "This is a mirror," and teach the kids all about this item and tell them how to, the word would come up on the screen. "This is a mirror. This is what a mirror is all about. And my mirror is partly broken, but don't look at that part of it. This is the part that we want to look at. Can you see yourself in there?" So a mirror is something that we use to put up in front of our face, in front of our bodies, in front of our eyes in some way, and look into that mirror and see. The mirror tells you what you look like, but it's so extremely rare that we would ever look into a mirror and not do anything, right? We're always doing something when we look in the mirror. You all have a mirror face when you look in the mirror. This certain angle that you want to look at, and you do your lips a certain way. You know what I'm talking about? Like, and you see a picture, an actual picture of yourself, you're like, "That's not me. That's not the way I look in the mirror." But that's because when you look in the mirror, you're tucking it in and sucking it in. And so a mirror tells us what we look like, and then we start making adjustments when we look in the mirror, like to faces, poking at things and covering things up or fixing things that are out of place. That's why we use a mirror. And the Bible is a type of a mirror for us. When we open up the Bible and we begin to read the Bible, we begin to see ourselves in the context of the Word of God. And we begin to see, how do I look like in when I look at the Bible, when I look at the way things should be? Then I see myself, and then all of a sudden I think, wow, there's some things that need to change. And that's why we come to church. That's why we hear the Word of God. That's why we encourage you, read the Word of God on a regular basis. This is a continual process for us to look at what God is saying and what how we are and who we are. Let's turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse. This is a mirror for us to look at today. Wow, if you look at the one on the back, that is the zoom in. That's the scary one. That's probably why Erica ripped this one out. It was too zoomed in. Wow. Matthew 22nd chapter 37th verse says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind." This is the great and first commandment. And this is actually Jesus talking. This is, if you have a red letter Bible, these would be in the red letters, because this is Jesus' actual words. This is the great and first commandment. Verse 39. And a second is like this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Shall love your neighbor as yourself. The very next verse, which we don't have up on the screen, Jesus says these two commandments, these two points, are the basis of the whole Bible. The whole Bible stands on this foundation. Love God with all of your heart. And then the second thing is love your neighbor as yourself. And so in the next book, Luke chapter 10, same story, but a little bit different context, a little bit different setting. There was a lawyer that was standing there next to Jesus, and he was trying to escape that commandment. He was trying to find a loophole in it. He was trying to justify himself because he hadn't been a good neighbor. We're sure of that. And so he says in Luke 10, 29, "But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?'" In other words, who is it that I have to love as I love myself? Is this somebody that I can pick? Is this somebody that's already approved of me? Is this somebody that I like? Somebody that I agree with? Somebody that votes the same way that I do, or dresses the same way that I do, or, you know, is polite to me when we go out and go out into our yard or whatever? And Jesus says, "Well, that's a great question. Let me tell you a story." And Jesus tells this man the story of the Good Samaritan. And many of y'all heard the story of the Good Samaritan, but basically there's a man who is very wounded on the side of the road. He's been beat up by robbers and he's been left to die. And religious people pass him by, and finally an outcast, a Samaritan, walks by this man who's been beat up and abused and takes care of him. And he's the Good Samaritan. And Jesus said, "This is your neighbor. This is the one that you least expect, the one that has come across your path." We often want to overgeneralize the term neighbor as a Christian. We want to over-spiritualize the term neighbor as a believer, turn it into something else. But most of the time, what we do as a believer is that we are so generic with this term that it becomes meaningless. We insist that we're neighbors with everybody. Like, everybody's our neighbor. But then we overgeneralize the term so much that we really have no true neighbors at all in our life. Or we end up choosing the people that we want to love, the ones that are not a hassle to us, the ones that we can control, or the ones that we can limit the amount of contact that we have with them. But it's really not that difficult. It's really very, very simple. If you were to go and look and dig the secret meaning of the word neighbor out of this text, go to the original language that it was written in. It was written in the language, the Greek language, and that original word was pleison, P-L-E-Y-S-I-O-N, pleison. It means, y'all ready for this? A person who lives close beside others. That's what neighbor means. A person that lives in close proximity to someone else. It means the person that lives next door to you. It's not complicated. It's not a secret meaning. It is very simple. It is very direct. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, which is a big commandment. But then love the people that live next door. The ones that you didn't pick, the ones that aren't moving that you want to move. Come on, move them away, Lord. They're not moving. They're not going anywhere. The people that God puts in your path. Mr. Rogers in his opening song, and Mr. Rogers wrote all the songs that were on his, he had a degree in music as well. He wrote all those songs, and one of the lines of the theme song, he says, since we're together, we might as well say. And I think that line is exactly what Jesus was talking about. You know what? Since you live next door to me, since you have come into my life, since we're here together, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be your neighbor. Mr. Rogers would say, won't you be my neighbor? And it was a very strong statement to kids. This was the first, to my knowledge, back in the late 60s is when he started. He was on the air for over 40 years. He would make this statement. He would actually talk to the people that were watching him. This was long before Dora did it and Mickey Mouse and all the people, you know, Blue's Clues talks to the kids. This was decades before all that. And kids would sit in their living room and they would watch Mr. Rogers say, Mr. Rogers is talking to me. He wants to be my neighbor. This was... They heard him say, won't you be my neighbor? But really what they were hearing was him saying, I want to be your neighbor. I want to be your neighbor, but you don't know me. I don't care. I want to be your neighbor. And I don't care what skin color you are. I want to be your neighbor. I want to be your neighbor, and I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I want to be your neighbor. He would have kids come up on the television and all kinds of special needs and all kinds of things. I want to be your neighbor. Breaking down the race barrier back in the late 60s and early 70s. I want to be your neighbor. I don't care if you have a lot of money. I don't care if you have no money at all. I want to be your neighbor. I want to be your friend. This is the message that Jesus is conveying to his followers. He's saying it to us in 2014. So we have this mirror here, and we're looking in it right now, and we're saying, what kind of neighbor am I? What is the statement that I have made to those people that live in the immediate proximity of my house, or my dorm, or my apartment unit, or my condo, wherever, what have I expressed? I'm looking at the mirror, and it doesn't look too good for a lot of Americans, does it? We haven't really followed in Jesus' footsteps or even Mr. Rogers' footsteps. Mother Teresa said it like this, how can you love God whom you don't see if you do not love your neighbor whom you see, whom you touch, with whom you live? Some of you are saying, yeah, well, I don't love them because I have seen them. They are a mess. They're mean to me. They don't cut their grass. I mean, they've got so many HOA violations. I've reported them so many times. Jesus really didn't say, fix your neighbor. Did he? He didn't say, fix your neighbor. He didn't even say you have to agree with them. He just said, love them. Wow. Just love them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a huge commandment that the whole Bible is built upon. And sometimes we preach sermons here and talk all about your life and all the things that are going on in your life, and we get so focused on our life and what's going on with us and what we're doing that we have forgotten one of the foundational parts of the Bible, to love the people that live right next door to you like you love yourself. So he doesn't necessarily say, fix your neighbor. He said, love them. He doesn't say that you have to agree with them or with everything that they do. He said, love them. He doesn't even tell them that you have to give them a Bible study or invite them to Promised Land. He said, love them. Just love people. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that never really gets talked about, there's 9 spiritual gifts that God gives to those whom he fills with his Holy Spirit. And some of us have memorized them: love, joy, peace. We focus on those 3 all the time. We want love, we want joy, we want peace in our life. But there's others that we never even get to, like kindness. God gives you the ability through the power of his Holy Spirit to be good and to be kind, to be patient. The mirror is showing us some stuff, isn't it? So why aren't we good neighbors? Why don't we do this? Here's 4 reasons why. Number 1, we're busy. We talked about this in the last sermon series, so if you missed Margin sermon series, you need to go back and listen to all of them, but there was one specifically on time. So good. We're so busy, 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 busy. We don't have the space in our calendar to be nice to our neighbor. What are you talking about? I got to go to work, and I get home late. The next one is isolation. We live lonely lives. It's so easy for us to leave in the morning, to come home at night with our head down. I hope they're outside. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look right now. The kids are like, oh, look. No, don't look, kids. Get out quickly. Do not. We have electric garage door openers. We don't even have to get out of the car anymore. The door opens, we drive in, the door closes. We're sealed off. And then the TVs and the technology of our life is so captivating that we don't go outdoors and hang out. So I was talking with my Promise group on Wednesday night, and our Promise group usually talks about the sermon for the coming up Sunday. I'm always talking to them and asking them questions about the sermon. And I was like, well, how is it different? Because they said, yeah, we live these isolated lives. We're not outside. The kids don't play out in the streets like they used to, and they don't. It's a dangerous world, and it really is, and there's things that are going on. You can't just. So how is it different? We're not old. We're not talking about the early 1900s or anything like this. We're talking about like the 70s and 60s and 70s and 80s, and it's not that far off. It's not that long ago, but it was so different, wasn't it? It was so different. Life was so different that we were outside so much more, and we were talking, and we were interacting, and we were connecting. So we're isolated. Another one is that we are afraid. We fear. We fear our neighbors. We're afraid of them. We're wary of our neighbors. And guess what? They're wary of you too. They don't know much about you. And so whatever is unknown is scary. And what we don't know, we imagine to be bad. We imagine the worst of what we don't know. The final thing, number 4, is we don't understand our neighbors. We misunderstand our neighbors. We see signs in their yard. Like I said, the grass is not mowed. What in the world? We turn that into a negative. Not cutting the grass means they're lazy. Loud music means they're party animals. Two dead cars in a driveway mean they don't take care of their stuff. Right? So we all see our neighbors through the lens of how we see ourselves. And if we highly value something, we think everybody else should highly value it as well. And we don't follow the commandment of Jesus because these people haven't matched up to our value. But that's not the gospel at all. The gospel is while we were sinning, Christ died for us. When we did not deserve it, Jesus loved us. He said to us as we were sinning, "Won't you be my neighbor?" While he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Man, what a powerful message. So Jesus is saying, your neighbors don't have to have the same values as you. They don't have to serve Jesus in order for you to love them. You don't have to agree with the way that they paint their house or the way they have friends come over all hours at their apartment, you know, and they're loud and they leave stuff outside the door and they smoke in the hallway. And when I come in, I can't get into my house. And our thought is, well, you know, I cut my grass. I make sure it's like this right level, edge it a certain way. They don't. Truth is, probably they've been tending to their ailing mother who's in hospice. And they haven't had the time to cut their grass. I mean, you just don't ever know why. Maybe their lawnmower is broken and they're waiting for a loving neighbor to come cut their grass for them. Do we ever stop to consider the opinions and the feeling and the background of our neighbors before we pass judgment on their value and their willingness to love them? Because Jesus did not say, since you have value, I will love you. Since you're good, I'm going to love you. He just loves us. He loves us without us having attained any value in and of ourselves. So look at this phrase that's up here. Neighboring starts in our hearts when we develop flexibility and compassion. Flexibility and compassion. When we adjust our schedules to accommodate those who are in need and nearby. Tweet that. Go ahead. Actually, PSM Church is our Twitter account, and we tweet a lot of this stuff on Sunday morning. Follow that, and you can tweet this stuff. Retweet it. Neighboring starts in our hearts. Even if you don't retweet it, get this in your heart, okay? Neighboring starts in your heart when we're flexible with our schedule and our attention, and we might put off watching that whatever or doing that or whatever we want. It's so important inside our cocoon of our house. And step outside of our comfort zone and be compassionate. Adjusting schedules to accommodate those in need who are nearby. So Lacey, come on up and give us some good closing music. We're closing today with a pop quiz. So turn your paper over on the other side. You've never had a pop quiz in church, probably. There should be 8 slots there that say name. I want you to just simply name the 8 closest people that live near you. Just put their name. 1, 2. Don't worry about line A and line B. Don't worry about line A and B. Just put the 8 people that live closest to you. If you don't have a pen, there should be one in the seat in front of you, or someone can help you. Some of you are acting like, oh, this pen's not working. No cheating, no looking on somebody beside you. You don't have to list their full name. You can just list Fred, Joe. You can list. A name, though, of some sort. Brown hair, big nose. That stuff does not, that's not counting. Now, here's line A. So every line has a line A and a line B. Line A is write down something relevant about that person that you could not know by standing in their driveway. So don't say they drive a red car, or could you write just one relevant thing about them? Like, they like to play golf, or, you know, they grew up in Kansas, or they work at CFAN, or they are a Texas State student. Can you write just like one thing about them? And then line B is, I think there's a slide that shows this. Abby, you can go ahead and just put all of them up. Line, their name line, then write down something relevant. Then B, this is even harder, something in depth that you've learned about them. For example, something that motivates them, a career they've always wanted to do, something they're afraid of, that they're concerned about in the community. What would they say if you told them something spiritual, or you ask them a spiritual, like, what is their perception of God? What is their perception of the government? Man, you get some interesting conversations when you talk to your neighbor about all these things. You know, usually they're passionate about something and they go in depth about it. Okay, we're not gonna spend all day on this, so put your pens down just for a second. Everybody look up here just for a second. How many of y'all could list one name? You got one name on there, at least one name, at least one name, at least one name. Okay, good. How many of y'all got four names on there? Anybody got four names? Okay. Anybody got eight names? Anybody? Wow, awesome. Surveys have been done. 10% of Americans can list eight names of eight neighbors. 10% of Americans can do that. How many of y'all got through level two? And I know you don't have time to do this, but 3% of Americans can do line A, which is just one more information. Less than 1% of Americans can do line B. Isn't that crazy? So this is your homework. This is your mirror that you're taking with you today. This is going to be a sermon series that we're talking about over the next month. And I didn't come just to depress you and make you feel like you're an awful person and you don't love anybody and you haven't done anything great for anybody. That's not the point at all. The point is for us to wake up and for us to start following the great commandment. And the truth is there's a lot of difficult people that live next to us. There are people, there are not people of peace. They're difficult to handle. So we're gonna, over the next few weeks, we're gonna talk about how to connect with your neighbors, how to deal with difficult neighbors, and find out how God's leading us to love him as he loved us, but then reflect that love. The mirror analogy works in this way as well. God loves us. We reflect that light and that love out to our neighbor. We display the love that he gave for us to those around us that don't deserve it. Jesus said, you know, you could be nice to all those people on your street that have been nice to you, but how could you display the love of Christ to those people that you haven't talk to, that you don't even know, that you've been afraid of? How could we display the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people? Would you stand with me this morning and let's pray right now. Let's go to him and I want you to take this little piece of paper with you home. And over the next week, your assignment is to learn one name. That's all you got to do this week. Learn one new name to put on your list. All right? Think you can handle that? Figure out a way to do it. Okay, pray about it. Store up some energy. Go meet somebody new. Okay, one new name. Would you close your head, close your eyes, and bow your head with me right now as we, Lord, there's a lot of information here, God, and there's a lot of heaviness in this, Lord, but the bottom line is that we want to follow you. We want to follow this commandment that you've given us to love others as you have loved us. God, I pray that we would step out of our selfishness. We would step outside of our ego and our broken schedule and our broken budget and our broken life and say, Lord, the most important thing is to love you and look over next door. Do I love them? Do I love him? Do I love her? Do I love those kids? In Jesus' name, Father, give us the strength, the power of your Holy Spirit, because without the power of your Spirit, we are just human flesh that is awful, that is unable to do anything well. But through the power of your Holy Spirit, you said in Acts, the first chapter in the 8th verse, Lord, we stand on your word today that says you would give us power through your Holy Spirit to be a witness, to love our neighbor. Lord, we pray that you would embolden us with that power, that you would give us the words to say, that you would give us the right recipe to cook or the right service to offer, or just to be ourself, Lord, just to be humble and just to be smile on our face, just be happy, just to have joy, Lord. Sometimes it takes just a supernatural act for that to happen. God, we pray for that. We desire it and we long for it in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say amen. 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 If there's anybody here today that has not really connected with Jesus yet, you're here this morning and you haven't received that forgiveness from Jesus that we've been talking about today. You haven't connected with him. And when I say that Jesus loves us before we loved him and that Jesus died for us when we didn't even know him. And not only did we not know him, but we were cursing him and we were living our own life and we were doing our own thing. We had our own schedule going and we were trusting in ourselves and trusting in our money and trusting in the government or whatever besides him. While we were doing all that, he loves us so much that he forgives us. He lets us walk straight with him and relationship with him, not just a churchy experience, but a relationship with him. If you're here today and you haven't really been there yet, today's the day that you can come to Jesus. He can forgive you of all of your sins, and today you can walk with him. You can walk out of this building with him. He loves you and he's waiting for you to say yes to him. The reason you're here today is because he's calling you. You thought you just came for whatever earthly reason or idea you had or someone invited you or whatever, but the truth is that God's drawing you here. He's calling you and he wants you to say yes to him today. So let's say yes to him right now. All we need to do to take that first step is just to say, come into our life, Jesus. Be with us. I accept you. I welcome you. I want you into my life. I need you. Please forgive me of my sin. Would you just, let's just all pray right now. In fact, everybody in the room, let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, come into our heart today. Please forgive me of all of my sins and wash me and make me clean and make me new today, God. Not because of the work I've done or not because of the effort I've put out, but simply, God, I trust that you are able to do it. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the only way, Jesus. I put my faith and my trust in you today, and I make myself available. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on. Let's clap our hands right now to him. Amen.